Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 2 of the study of 1 Corinthians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Corinthians 16, 5 through 18. If you're enjoying this podcast and would like to take the growth in your understanding of God's Word even further, let me encourage you to check out the 10-Week Bible Series in print, available at Amazon.com. For easy links to the books, go to 10weekbible.com. That's the number 10weekbible.com. Won't you join me as we pray before we get started? Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God. Would you speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 5. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. So it seems interesting that Paul would say that there's a great door of effective work that's opened up to him, and that many oppose him at the same time. Kind of a funny thing. We do know that Paul spent quite some time in Ephesus when we read the book of Acts, and that there were, in fact, many people that opposed him and eventually ran him out of Ephesus. And so Paul intended here to go from Ephesus up through Macedonia, which is northern Greece, if you will. Macedonia would, you know, extend into Europe a little bit from the Greek peninsula. And then he said down into he would go down and visit the people of Corinth in the province of Achaia, or I don't know how you pronounce it, actually. It always looks kind of funny to me, but it would be Greece proper. The Greek peninsula is where he's hoping to go. But he knows that he's not going anytime soon, because he doesn't want to just kind of pop over to Corinth and then have to leave. He wants to spend some time with them. And this makes sense, because back then you didn't hop on a plane and fly and spend a weekend in Corinth. I mean, you had to board a ship that was, you know, it could be kind of treacherous crossing, you know, these oceans. If a storm pops up, you could get dashed on the rocks or lost at sea. You know, and Paul is going to become very familiar in the book of Acts later, after this time that we're reading about here. He's going to become very familiar with shipwrecks and things like that. So it wasn't just a quick trip. Travel was never easy back then. There were always, you know, storms and bandits, and it was quite difficult to travel. So if you were going to go invest some time somewhere, you actually wanted to be able to invest some time there. Verse 10, when Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one, then, should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. So this is just one of those straightforward things where Paul is saying, don't mess with Timothy. You know, Paul has addressed several concerns in the book of Corinthians about, you know, how some people favored Paul and some Apollos and some Peter. And so Paul here is saying, listen, if you're not going to heed the words that you've already read in this letter to you, just don't mess with Timothy. If you don't like me, but you like Apollos or you like Peter or whatever, don't take it out on Timothy. Treat Timothy well. I'm sending him to you. Treat him well. And, you know, this is just, you know, some basic courtesy here. You know, accept anybody. It doesn't matter if another believer has a style or, you know, theology that you like or dislike. You know, if we can agree on the fundamentals of the faith, if we can agree that Jesus' blood is necessary for the substitutionary atonement for our sin. If we can agree on these kinds of foundational things and disagree on, since we're in Corinthians, you know, the use and practice of spiritual gifts in church life, then we shouldn't get our panties in such a wad that we can't actually accept people who view, you know, different points of theology differently than we do. We should be accepting of them. The Moravian Brethren back in the 1700s in Germany, they had a saying, and they said, in the essentials unity, in the non-essentials liberty, and in all things love. And that should be so true for us today. We should take on a mantra like that. In the essentials, in the things that we have to ascribe to be Christian, we must have unity. But there are so many things that are non-essential. They may be important. They may be important to you. They may be very important to you, but they're not essential for Christian orthodoxy. We should practice liberty. We should not fight over them and just always be wanting to debate and point out where other people are wrong and things like that. When we get into things that touch the essentials, we should be willing to go to bat for those things. We have to be able to go to bat for those things to protect the ears that we're leading from being led astray into false doctrine and false teaching that will lead them into heresy and away from Jesus. I mean, that's a serious, serious thing. And I've encountered that a few times in my life, and it's led to divisions that unfortunately I felt were necessary, but I would never take anything like that lightly. That is painful. That is very difficult to say, listen, where you're going, I can't go with you. I can't go with you because that is leading down a path that I believe will lead people away from the Lord more than just, I don't really care for the way you do things or something like that. But I think that's actually leading people away from the Lord. That's very different from, you know, I don't like the style of music in your church, or I don't like the way your order of service goes, or I don't like some of these other minor theological points. Very different. We should listen to what Paul's saying here. It's regardless of how we think about this guy or this woman or this person, we should accept each other. If we ascribe to the fundamentals, if there is unity in the fundamentals, in the foundational things of Christianity, the Bible is in the inspired word of God, the whole thing. Jesus was born of a virgin. You know, the whole Apostles' Creed, you know, died a sinless life and was raised to life on the third day. All of these things. If we can say yes to all of those, we should have tremendous liberty and love for the people who may disagree on everything else. It would be so necessary for us today. It would go so far to changing the culture that we live in, where we just want to have a hot take and nitpick on every little thing. Verse 12. Now about our brother Apollos. I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. So Paul here is probably in the same vein of what he was, you know, saying with Timothy, is if you like Apollos more than me, treat Timothy well. I mean, just, you know, just for the sake of Timothy, a fellow brother, treat him well. And then he's thinking, and Apollos, you know, I know that some of you like Apollos. I tried to urge him to come to you. I think Paul knows that Apollos would come and stop this nonsense that was going on in Corinth as well. And Apollos probably said, oh, Paul, I don't have time for that kind of a mess right now. I've got other things I'm doing, but I'll get there. I'll get there. That, you know, it might be one of those things where when you're feel like you've got to go and just settle fights and put out fires, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, ooh, you know, I've got some other things I want to take care of first before I get around to that. I'm reading into that. That may not be what Apollos was saying, but you know, my imagination runs a little bit when he says things like that. Verse 13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. These are such straightforward encouragements that Paul has for the people of Corinth. Stand firm, but look out. Don't just be stupid. Don't be unwise. Don't be foolish. Look out for what the enemy is doing, what the enemy is at work in around you. But stand firm in your faith and be courageous. Be strong. You know, don't wither when the Lord asks you to stand firm. But in everything you do, do it in love. Again, I love that Moravian statement in the essentials, unity, and the non-essentials, liberty, and all things love. Verse 15, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, or Achaia, again, I don't know how to say this, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. You know, Paul was someone who understood what it was like to feel alone. There were several times in his life where, you know, when trouble comes, people kind of want to go the other direction. If for no other reason than just to avoid the trouble, not even because they don't like Paul or because they believe negative things that are spoken about him. They just don't want to be around the trouble. And Paul, unfortunately, knew what that was like several times. And so Paul, very often in his epistles, he would recognize men and women that had stayed with him, even in the midst of trouble. And it wasn't necessarily, I don't believe it was just about, you know, people who were loyal to Paul, but people who treated him well with kindness in the midst of suffering and pain. It mattered to Paul, and I think it should matter to us. I think when we see people like that, when there are people around us like that, that see us in our pain and aren't like Job's friends who say, oh, well, you see, if you had done this or that, things would have gone better for you. You know, people who are just willing to be there for us, they deserve recognition. They deserve recognition in our lives. They deserve recognition in our churches. And they deserve recognition like Paul is doing here in even a broader sense, not just in this local church, but I mean, in the broader church context, they deserve recognition. And very seldom do people like this receive recognition. But the men and women who are willing to stand with us in those dark times, in those difficult times, I believe that they will receive recognition in eternity for sure. So why not throw them a little happy bone occasionally here on earth? Well, that's it for today. Thanks for joining me for the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the podcast.